Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, several years ago, an elderly woman, a Methodist for decades since birth, a leader in my former church, called me to make an urgent appointment to discuss something with me. I met her the very next morning. She entered my office visibly shaken. You see, she had received a pamphlet in the mail, and she laid it on my desk, and she said we needed to do something. We needed to warn everybody, gather the church quickly. Everyone needs to come. That we needed to go to prepare for what was to come. I looked at the pamphlet, and you see, this was September of 2015. And amateur astronomers from throughout North America were looking forward to the convergence of two phenomena. A lunar eclipse, also known as a blood moon, and a super moon event. This would result in a super blood moon. An optical illusion where the moon appears larger than normal and the angle of viewing for the lunar eclipse of most of the United States would mean that the moon would appear blood red. The pamphlet, using quite ominous language, never, of course, acknowledging that the people in the Southern Hemisphere were never going to see this, was saying that this was the sign of the coming judgment. It pulled several scriptures out of context to justify this assertion. For this tract did not present this as a prophecy or even a possibility, but a certainty. It spoke of the large earthquake that had happened earlier that year, of a world in chaos. Prepare to meet your maker, O evil earthlings, was the kind of overall theme of this pamphlet. And then you got a little further into it, and it let you know that a renowned scholar and prophet was going to broadcast this worldwide on the internet during a webinar that you could view at a hotel near you. Then, conveniently, on the back was a number and a website where you could sign up for the meeting to learn more about this and gather together at this local hotel for just $29.95 a person. So, think about that for a minute. $30 to hear a live webinar about the end of the world being imminent, maybe even during the broadcast. And by the way, we take Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. I digress. That. So somebody didn't think it was the end of the world if they were going to put that money in their bank account. That's all I'm saying. But while rare, this super blood moon was not a unique occurrence. Even the ancients learned to mark time and seasons, predict tides and crop production by observing the phases of the moon. I explained to her that a blood moon was something known to the ancient people and was a way to mark time. When I explained to her that it was also the fourth blood moon in the last 2 years, she seemed to calm down a little bit. We talked about the scripture passage we read today in the context of this assertion, and we also spoke of Jesus' words that no one knows the day or the hour. We even spoke a little on the theology of dispensationalism and how it wasn't even a thing until the late 1800s. We spoke of the word rapture that was repeatedly used in the pamphlet and talked about how that word was not even in the Bible in the context of the language being used, as well as the concepts that were mentioned in this pamphlet of tribulation and millennialism. And we talked about that being a relatively new theology and not something we ascribed to by our denomination in general. So then she asked me, well, Pastor, then what should we do to prepare if we really don't know when Jesus is coming again? Ms. Vesta, all I can say is that I try to live my life each and every day as if Jesus was coming at any moment, and plan ministries of justice and mercy as if we have to wait another 10,000 years, and live into community as if Jesus has already come and we are living in the kingdom now. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is speaking to his disciples as if perhaps, too, they had received this pamphlet, this frightening tract. Even 2,000 years ago, first century Jews and Christians alike believed they were living in the last times. Through both diplomacy and brute force, Rome had conquered much of the known world. And they had heard rumors of wars and strange events. Then comes this simple, homeless carpenter to say, the kingdom is at hand. You see, that's the thing about rumors. They take on a life of their own. Like Miss Vesta, the disciples began to interpret Jesus' message of the kingdom at hand with the apocalyptic translations of the ancient texts and ancient writings. Within minutes of seeing this slick and well-presented flyer, Miss Vesta was convinced of the rumor of the end of the world happening in weeks. And it took almost 2 hours of facts and scripture to begin to sway her otherwise. The rumor, like the rumors the apostles had heard of wars and rumors of wars, the rumor rooted in fear and apprehension had become her truth. And the challenge was real for her to unravel that. But you know, we're not so different from Miss Vesta or the ancient people. Soon, the rumor we hear becomes more truth in our own minds than any kind of fact that could be presented to us. It was not only with the disciples, the same was true for the community around Hannah. The mother of the great prophet Samuel. Take Hannah in our Hebrew Bible reading. She is beloved by her husband. She has every comfort available to her. But she is barren. Her rival wife taunts her, even though the rival wife has multiple children and heirs. And she is jealous of the double portion that Hannah receives. Instead of understanding that she and her children receive far more than Hannah when combined, she worries about Hannah's double portion instead of counting the blessings of children among her portion. And she uses the energy God intended for praise and thanksgiving to taunt Hannah, to spread gossip and lies and to generally make her life miserable. Then Hannah goes to the temple to find refuge and instead finds another tormentor in Eli the priest. He takes a look at her troubled state, and instead of meeting it with compassion, he accuses her of being a drunk. Hannah's husband and family had come to the temple multiple times to present their offerings. Eli would have known this family, their wealth, their story. He would have known of Hannah's situation and her misery. He sees Hannah in the temple, and he makes assumptions, prejudges her, believes there's only one thing this behavior could mean for someone as miserable as Hannah. And he does something I like to say often. He puts two and two together and gets 22. Eli began to believe perhaps the worst kind of rumor, the rumor of our own minds. Reverend Robert A. Bryan writes about this lectionary reading as follows. Perceiving the truth can be difficult, and discerning the significance of a moment is seldom easy. Even Jesus' closest followers found this to be true. So, throughout the Gospels, Jesus helps his followers have eyes to see and ears to hear what is true and according to God's will. Here in Jerusalem, in the week of Jesus' passion and nearing the cross, Jesus continues to help his disciples look beyond appearances and trust God. And today, Jesus is helping us look beyond the rumors and innuendo, the appearance of things, and the gossip and the stories we hear. And this gives us the opportunity to have Jesus give us the truth, to see with the eyes of Jesus, to hear with the ears of Christ. That's something that's not just available to the early disciples, but available to us today. The miracle Jesus offers to us is to see. See what we have been blinded to by our prejudice and our lack of compassion. The miracle Jesus offers us now is to hear. Hear beyond the din and cacophony of rumors and false narratives and phony prophets. Jesus is offering us the prospect of living into the truth of justice and mercy and compassion. There will be rumors, conflict, and strife in our community, in our world, in our church. False prophets will appear. We will be tempted to declare the end of our existence is coming. And we'll want to cling to the safety and the crowd, even if it costs us $29.95 a person. And even possibly be led astray. Don't be alarmed, says Jesus, I am with you. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus in the Gospel of John. Jesus, the truth. And this is all we should hear. Amen.